Let's continue in the scriptures. I'm thankful to the Lord for what he calls us in the call to worship, and this morning in the reading of the law and in our scripture lesson and continued scripture lesson from the prophet Jeremiah, as mentioned this morning, 18 and 19, as it were, form a couplet. They hold together in terms of its message to the church of old and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Chapter 19, the blessed word of God, the word that abides, and the word that we confess is inspired by the Holy Spirit, infallible and without error. Thus says the Lord, speaking to Jeremiah, go buy a potter's earthenware flask and take some of the elders of the people and some of the elders of the priests and go out to the valley of the son of Hinnom at the entry of the potsherd gate and proclaim there the words that I tell you. You shall say, hear the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such a disaster upon this place that the ears of everyone who hears of it will tingle. Because the people have forsaken me and have profaned this place by making offerings in it to other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers nor the kings of Judah have known, and because they have filled this place with the blood of innocents and have built the high places of Baal to burn their sons in the fire as burnt offerings to Baal, which I did not command nor decree, nor did it come into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when this place shall no more be called Topheth, or the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And in this place I will make the plans of Judah and Jerusalem, and will cause their people to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hand of those who seek their life. I will give their dead bodies for food to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the earth. And I will make this city a horror, a thing to be hissed at. Everyone who passes by it will be horrified and will hiss because of all its wounds. And I will make them eat the flesh of their sons and their daughters, and everyone shall eat the flesh of his neighbor in the siege and in the distress with which their enemies and those who seek their life afflict them. Then you shall break the flask in the sight of the men who go with you, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, so will I break this people and this city as one breaks a potter's vessel so that it can never be mended. Men shall bury in Topheth because there will be no place else to bury. Thus will I do to this place, declares the Lord, and to its inhabitants, making this city like Topheth. The houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah, all the houses on whose roofs offerings have been offered to all the host of heaven and drink offerings have been poured out to other gods, shall be defiled like the place of Topheth. Then Jeremiah came from Topheth, where the Lord had sent him to prophesy. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing upon this city and upon all its towns all the disaster that I have pronounced against it, because they have stiffened their neck, refusing to hear my words. We'll hear once again verses 10 and 11. Then you, Jeremiah, So break the flask in the sight of the men who go with you, and shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, so will I break this people and this city as one breaks a potter's vessel, so that it can never be mended. Men shall bury in Topheth, because there will be no place else to bury. This is the word that has been preserved for hundreds and thousands of years, and the word that comes to our ears, and I trust to our hearts this afternoon hour. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the ministry of God's word will always, always accomplish its intended purpose. So clearly shown to us throughout scriptures, throughout salvation history, whether that be in the lives of individuals such as God's servants known to us as Abraham, Moses, or David, beyond individuals to the broader covenant community, the nation of Israel, and there was Judah. Thankfulness to the Lord, he maintains his line of promise. And God's people to this day enjoy his covenant promises in our Redeemer for our strength and salvation, the strength and salvation that we so very much need. Christ, as we prayed, is busy gathering, defending, and preserving his church. And God's sovereignty is always for our comfort, but also as a warning. This is so very clear in the ministry of God's servants of old. And we see that in the ministry of Jeremiah. You recall this morning we made mention of the fact that he had to take a number of field trips, chapter 5. God calling Jeremiah to go up and down the streets of Jerusalem in order to see if he could find but one righteous man. And the Bible tells us there were none to be found. Had to look to the Lord Jesus to come to that point. In chapter 7, Jeremiah had to go to the ruins of Shiloh. We traveled with him there when we read that chapter as a picture of what was to happen to the temple of Jerusalem. This morning, chapter 18, Jeremiah taken to the pottery workshop. And you remember we made mention that he didn't first of all go to preach a sermon as he did before the gates of Jerusalem, but to prepare a sermon or to receive a sermon already prepared. And Jeremiah was then asked to observe how the potter manages his work, and by means of observation, he would be prepared to bring the next message to the people, even as we find it in this afternoon's scripture lesson. Always there are two things that stand out. First, the potter fashions as he sees fit. And secondly, the same lump can be used for something completely different. The clay will never have the right to say, why did you make me like this? The potter makes his choice. The clay must comply. The potter has freedom with respect to his plans. And the defects in the first attempt are not final, just as the potter remolds a marred pot. God will remold his people by disciplining them in exile. And we're thankful that to this day God is constantly working with his people each and every step of the way. The Lord gives you and I a testimony with what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will yet do in our lives and in the life of his church. And we think again of the Emmanuel congregation, what the Lord has been doing now. Oh, is it maybe 30 years? Now in the life of the church, the Lord leaves us with many striking occasions that leave impact upon us. Events in people's lives, but even the wonderful celebration of the sacraments and baptism and the Lord's Supper every time again. being directed to the great work of God. God does whatever he pleases. God is God. And this is so important for us to remember. God is God. God's sovereignty may not be disputed. Well, we try. But human beings are not on equal terms with God. He the creator, we the creatures, God the absolute sovereign. And the clay does not say to the potter, what are you making? Even as we are made out of dust and will return to the dust. And now we have traveled with the scriptures to chapter 19. And as we travel along, we see once again that clay pot in action. Jeremiah is told to take the earthen flask, you might say a clay thermos, and go a little piece down the road from the potter's pottery to the valley of the son of Hinnom. He's to take with him some of the elders of the people, the Bible tells us, and some of the elders of the priest. And as we observe in our hearts and our minds this chapter unfolding, we see a disturbing situation followed by this distressing sign in our text, and further a word speaking of dire consequences. And thankful to the Lord that we may also make mention of the answer to those dire consequences. First, the disturbing situation. Jeremiah has been ministering for some time. Some estimate he's been preaching for 25 years already. And he's got a long ways yet to go. There's a lot of spiritual sweat in the life of the prophet Jeremiah. He's been preaching to a stiff-necked people about a long-suffering God. But God will not allow the rebellion to go on forever. The cup will spill over. Time is running out. Jeremiah's visit to the potter's house prepared him for what was to come next in his preaching ministry. He leaves the potter's house and with the product of the potter, that earthen flask, a clay jar, Jeremiah also summons some of the elders of the people and some of the elders of the priests. It would seem that there are elders serving two distinct functions, one group performing primarily civil functions and the other group primarily functions that were to speak to faith, religious functions. And together they walk down the road, the dusty road. They go to the valley of the son of Hinnom, also known as Tophet, meaning fire stove, just outside the city. And the particular location was a deep and narrow ravine with steep rocky sides to the south and the west of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah was told to proclaim the words that God would tell him. Go, and when you get there, I will tell you what to say. You can imagine that Jeremiah's heart was fluttering. And yet, when the Lord says, speak, Jeremiah had to speak. The heart of the message, as we find it in verse 3, behold, I will bring such a catastrophe on this place that whoever hears of it, his ears will tingle. How disturbing. Have your ears ever tingled? Perhaps when busy with a very noisy work project, the result was tingling ears. You're using a chainsaw, you don't have your ear protections. Doesn't do any good to your ears. But even more, perhaps someone has shared some dreadful news and you can hardly believe what you just have heard. Your head shakes, your heart flutters. What you have heard is seemingly unbelievable. What has happened here? And in the case of God's judgment on his people, that judgment will be heavy, harsh, hard-hitting. It's a reality of the Old Testament history of the church. It will be more than ever imagined, severe and shocking to anyone who hears of it. And in the judgment, there is a reason for the punishment. In short, the covenant community have put all sorts of question marks behind God's commandments. Question marks behind God's commandments. But God's commandments come to us to this very day, not with a question mark, but with a period. Our brothers and sisters who claim to hold to the faith of long ago have become apostates. How disturbing. They did not uphold their calling in the covenant relationship. They did not worship God as he required. They brought sacrifices in the high places of Baal. And what were those sacrifices? Little children burned alive as an offering. Little children given over to the grimy hands of false priests and then offered to the Molochs of the age. Little children slaughtered. How disturbing. Drums were beaten to drown their cries. It was a place of massacre. The covenant community committed the vilest of sins. They forsook God. They had lost the knowledge of their living, loving God. And Jeremiah is standing in the very place where some of these atrocities occurred. Jeremiah has to give his message. He has to preach his sermon with this in the backdrop. It's not a very neat and tidy nor a sanitized situation. As he preaches with the elders, so to speak, in the elders' bench, he lays before them a visible sign. It's a distressing sign. The sign is like his amen to the sermon he has just preached. The potter's pot is to be shattered. We can picture the scene. Jeremiah taking his clay vessel, lifting his hand, and bringing it down, smashing that potter clay vessel to smithereens with pieces of clay flying all over the place. And in chapter 18, the potter's clay was still moist. It was still pliable. There was work that you could do with it. The potter could reshape. But in 19, chapter 19, the clay jar is hard, hard. And if it is unsuitable for the owner's use, can only be destroyed. And in like manner, the majority of the covenant community cannot be made whole again. Judah, hardened in sin, cannot be reshaped. But it brings sadness to our hearts. Only destroyed. Now the picture of the broken flask is not unique to Jeremiah chapter 19. You think of what we read in Psalm 2 and verse 9 in reference to Christ's rule. You, that is Christ, shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. And this broken flask is an image that is appropriate for every age where wickedness rears its ugly head. We think of our own situation with respect to the abortion mills in North America. How many millions of children have been offered to the altar of convenience? It must make our ears tingle. In our own nation, we no longer make these murder statistics public. And we are, to our shame, one of the only three nations in the world with no abortion restrictions. A nation, again, where children are offered on the altar of convenience. A nation of the broken flask. A nation where in years past almost everyone went to church and where now only a small minority. When the first immigrants came to the new land, their first priority as communities was to build churches. The older members remember this. No longer. Yesterday's agenda was same-sex marriage. Before that, the lottery. Before that, the Lord's Day Act had to be dismantled. On the agenda of today is his doctor-assisted death, gender confusion. And you will note how language plays a role in this disturbing matter. When abortion, with abortion, it is pro-choice rather than the killing of infants. Concerning this program called MAID, instead of words like murder or assisted suicide, society couches it in the intent, in the language of the doctor's help. A huge line is crossed when society decides that some lives are not worth living. And history proves that when human value is measured according to feelings of self-worth or the inability to do things that others can, you have entered a place of no return. The subjective standard is always shifting sands. And so-called euthanasia can be justified for almost any reason. How quickly we forget our history lessons. One of the officials who participated as an investigator in the Nuremberg trials following World War II made this observation. In reflecting on the atrocities of the Nazi regime, he said something to the effect that whatever proportion these crimes finally assumed, it became evident to all who investigated them that they started from small beginnings. The beginnings at first were a subtle shift in emphasis, starting with the acceptance of the attitude, a basic to the euthanasia movement, and there is such a thing as life not worth living. In its early stages, it concerned itself merely with the severely and chronically sick, and gradually the sphere grew to include, to enlarge, to encompass the socially unproductive, the ideologically unwanted, the racially unwanted, and finally, all non-Germans. Now, all of this is happening in our own nation because we are a nation that puts a question mark where God has put a period. But let's step aside from the nation. It's one thing to speak of the nation with respect to a broken flask, but Jeremiah is focusing on the church, the Old Testament church. What is becoming of the churches of our land? Again, we may speak of the broken flask. Why are so many churches bending to the will of culture rather than seeking to bend culture to the will of God? And congregation, you have a high calling. Stand on guard. Stand on guard. By means of the visual illustration, Jeremiah draws in those to seal the message he has just preached. Jeremiah preached in the valley of slaughter. Could a more gloomy and ominous place be found? Dire and dreadful consequences are about to befall the Old Testament church. Judah, hardened in sin, cannot be reshaped, but only destroyed. Things will become so desperate during the looming siege, desperate for food during a long siege, and some would resort to cannibalism, eating family members and friends. So severe was the judgment that when Israel returned from captivity, they never again burned their children. The valley of slaughter became a garbage dump and a place for storing manure. And a constant fire burned to deal with the garbage, and it was known by the people by its putrid smell. And ever since this place, also known in the Bible as Gehenna, ever since it became a symbol for the burning fire of hell, a place of abhorrence, a place of hissing. To take but two examples from Christ's ministry. Christ spoke very clearly also regarding matters of eternity. And in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, we read the following words: "Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." And then in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, we hear these words that also strike our hearts. John 15, verses 5 and 6, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And Jesus goes on to say, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned." Fire is always associated with the language of damnation. And no one can play with fire and not expect to be burned. The Bible tells us hell to be the final place where of those who received condemnation, the condemnation of eternal punishment at the last judgment. It is described as a place of fire and darkness, of weeping and gnashing teeth. As if heaven is better than we could dream, so hell will be worse than we can imagine. Jeremiah long ago and faithful preachers today must deal with the issues of eternity. Our God is a consuming fire. According to Scripture, hell is unending. There is no biblical warrant for speculations about a second chance after death. Groups such as the Seventh-day Adventists who hold to the annihilation of the ungodly at some stage. And now we may wonder, "Pastor, how is this all related to the gospel? Is there no good news in our contemplation and deliberation this afternoon? What of the broken flasks which we may experience in our lives? At times we can be very broken. What to do with those broken pieces?" And then we are reminded of our Savior. Always and always we must turn to Christ to put the pieces back together again. He is not only our burden bearer, he's our burden lifter, the burden being sin. And he, because of our sin, experienced Gehenna. He experienced the fire of anguish on behalf of all those who trust in his saving merits. We might say that he himself became that flask upon which the hand of our heavenly Father fell upon. And in his suffering, he was, as it were, broken to pieces. And in that brokenness, the message of what was necessary in order to remove the judgment of God. This is our Savior. We know this, we confess this, but it must always be to us amazing. Amazing grace and its sweet sound. Jesus, because of our sin, experiencing God-forsakenness. Christ, the second Adam, fulfilled what the first Adam failed to fulfill. And so this afternoon again, we're called to turn to Christ, to trust in his finished work, to believe that Jesus Christ is the redemption price. And that price has been paid in full, freely given to all who have been brought to the Lord in saving faith, given to those who know what it is to trust his promises to bring life so that we might be those living, fruitful branches. The Word of God reminds us this afternoon, warns us of living a life of rebellion. How far the Old Testament church fell. The Word calls us to accept as true all that God reveals to us in his Word. We can't, as it were, pull this page out of the Bible. The Word describes what happens if we become stiff-necked. And such a warning, congregation, is gracious. It is good for us. Thankfully, Christ has fulfilled all of the law's demands. We sang earlier, Rock of Ages, the Rock of Ages, cleft for me. It's our hiding place. It's our place where we may find our eternal safety. And in thankfulness, we may go forth in the week that the Lord has set before us, prayerfully seeking him as he speaks to us in his word, trusting and obeying, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee that the word of God speaks in every way to every situation. Lord, we are struck by that broken flask experienced by the Old Testament church. At times we ourselves may feel broken. We're thankful, Father, that upon a life we did not live, upon a death that we cannot die, that we may indeed trust our eternity on the sacrifice of Christ, who was broken. And the proof of that sacrifice in the resurrection of our Lord. Father, we pray, help us not to fall asleep in the society that we're a part of. Give us courage to speak amongst each other, and to also be voices in the society at large. We do pray, Lord, for the witness of right to life. And we pray, Lord, that that witness would not tire. We thank thee, Lord, that we have been given to confess that life has been given from conception to natural death by the hand of the Lord. We pray, Lord, that as we go forth in our opportunities and responsibilities this week, that we would be given, Lord, that eyesight to know the holy will of God. So hear our prayer, incline thine ear to us for thy glory's sake, and in Jesus' name we pray.